I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Throughout my treatment for breast cancer, I've realised the importance of self-care. Whether that's a hike up the mountains, a checkup with your GP, or even a 5-minute pamper session, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. This season, I've teamed up with Sally Hansen. Sally Hansen herself was more than a beauty innovator and businesswoman. She believed in the importance of self-care all the way back in the 1930s. Sally Hansen believes that beauty is better when you do it yourself. So this summer, why not get a salon finish on your nails with Miracle Gel and a perfect flawless tan with the iconic Airbrush Lex Tan. And just like Sally herself, enjoy every self-caring moment of it. This week on the Good Glow podcast, I speak to fashion, travel and lifestyle blogger Louise Cooney. Louise is one of Ireland's top bloggers and a beautiful person inside and out. She made the big move to New York City last year to start a new phase of her life. We spoke this week about living and working in New York before she made the decision to come home during the global pandemic. Louise tells me what it's like to be homesick and what she's learned over the last 10 weeks. She recently raised €90,000 for Pieta House, and I'm really grateful to her for sharing her story with me today, her message of the importance of talking and checking in with those we love will save lives. Louise Cooney, welcome to the Good Glow podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, I'm so thrilled. And I was just saying to you before we came on air that you've been on my list of guests, for my wish list for guests, for so long now. And I really believed that I'd have to go to New York to interview you. But I suppose this COVID-19 has made us all think a little bit differently about how we do things. And you're sitting in your car in Limerick and I'm here in Dublin, and we've made it happen.
It's mad. I never would have thought this would have been how we would have been chatting, because I remember I used to listen to this podcast when I was going to the gym over in New York, and now here I am in the car outside my house. But like you said, it's kind of fun to be creative with how, you know, we can do things now, and you can find enjoyment in it when you kind of have to think outside the box, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've all been glued to your journey over the last year, and then having to come home because of everything that's happening in the world. How are you feeling?
You know, like, it's kind of up and down. I'm really happy to be home with my family, because as much as it was so exciting moving, it was really hard as well. So it's kind of nice downtime and kind of, you know, reflecting on all the changes and stuff. But yeah, it's not what I planned, and I've spent a fortune, and I've spent so much time and energy to move that I really would have hoped that maybe by May that I would be kind of settled over there. And now I feel like when I go back, I'm really starting from scratch again, you know. But there are people in worse situations than me, and I'm like lucky to be home with my family, and New York is always going to be there and home is always going to be there. So I'm just taking it as it comes. We've no control over what's going on.
And why did you decide to move to New York in the first place?
So I always loved it ever since I first visited. I have family who live nearby. They live in Connecticut. And just the way of life over there, the opportunities. Since I was a teenager, I did J1s, and I went over and stayed with my aunt and uncle. And then I lived there for a year when I was just out of college. It was my first job. And I just loved it. Like, the freedom there, you know, the traveling, the people you'd meet, the high buildings. I used to just walk around kind of looking up at the sky. It was like a dream for me, you know. And I always wanted to go back. And 4 years after I came back to Ireland, I decided, okay, no, I'm ready to go again and give it a shot. And I'm lucky that I can do what I do from anywhere. So I said, you know, why not try and, you know, build an audience over there and do something new? Because, you know, there's only so much time that I'll have this freedom. You know, I'm single. I don't have any ties to Ireland. I don't have a house. I don't have a mortgage. I don't, you know, I have no ties to Ireland. So I can do that for a little while. And I kind of just wanted the exciting change, you know.
Oh, so. It's so amazing. And myself and Jamie have always loved America, especially the East Coast. And we've gone to Boston so many times, and we fly into Boston and then we travel down to Cape Cod to a place called Chatham. We went there on honeymoon and we went back when I was pregnant. And it's just our happy, special place. So
yeah,
I can
nice.
See. We always said that if Jamie, you know, got a job and had to move there for a year, that we would love to do that. And what was life like for you in New York before all of this started?
So when I first moved, it was like full steam ahead. I was so excited for so long to go. It took me 8 months to get my visa, so I was more than ready. So it was kind of like getting the apartment set up, so exciting, you know, meeting new people. But I think I was 6 months in when everything kind of started to, when coronavirus really started to take shape and people were getting, you know, scared and things were, people were going to quarantine and all that. And at that point, I was like, God, I do miss my family and my friends. I do miss having the comforts of home, which I never really would have thought I would have felt like that, because I'm quite like independent and I've moved before and I never felt like that. But I'm a little bit older now and, like, you know, things have, you know, we'll talk later a little bit about the Pieta House thing. But like, I lost my cousin right before I moved, and all of that stuff can make moving really hard. And just set, like, setting up and having your core group. And I know everyone who moves away finds that you have to learn everything again. You have to learn about insurance and healthcare, and, you know, you have to do it all pretty much on your own. It's like you have to relearn how to live your life kind of independently, which is really exciting and fun, but can be hard as well, especially when, like me, you're by yourself a lot. You know, like, I live by myself and I work by myself. So that's kind of something I've learned over the past 6 months, is that I'm, you know, when I go back, I'm probably going to seek out like a co-working space or try to move in with people. And I never would have known that this time last year.
And I suppose it's all of these things that you have to go and live the life to discover these things and learn these things about yourself. It's so interesting that you were saying there about, you know, feeling homesick or feeling lonely. And you've been really vocal about that. And so many people listen to this podcast around the world, Irish girls abroad, and they could be in Australia or America, Dubai, and they say they feel homesick, but when they listen to a podcast, say with two Irish girls having a conversation, they feel that kind of home comfort. How do you describe homesickness? Because I've never really felt it before, because I've never lived out of Ireland. Is homesickness like a feeling of missing your family and your people and your tribe, kind of?
I find it really hard to describe, and I find it hard to spot sometimes, but it's just like, for me anyway, it comes in waves, and it's like a mood. It's like my whole mood shifts, and I want to be at home talking to people, but it actually makes me more upset, and I just feel like, right. Do you know what it is sometimes as well, which I found great being home during this time, is the time difference can be so hard for me in the evenings. Like, I only have a couple of people really that I'd be close with over in New York now, whereas here I know so many different groups of people, and I have my family, and, you know, so like in the evenings I'd often be watching TV and had no one to text or no one to call, and it's like that can be really lonely, you know. And I think that it just takes time, obviously, and like living with people would help in that sense, and all, you know, there are ways around it, but I just found that kind of thing hard, and I can't imagine being stuck in my apartment all day at the moment and not having anyone to call in the evening. It would just be horrible, you know.
And who are your people in New York? Are they Irish friends, or did you meet new friends when you got there?
Yeah, I mainly Irish. Like, I have a couple of American girls. Like, I've met a couple of bloggers who are really nice, and I had friends from before. But yeah, my main group are kind of Irish. One girl is from Limerick, her name's Charlotte. We worked together 10 years ago, but we weren't, you know, close. And then I suppose us being away together, we're both single, we're both, you know, kind of in the same boat, and that we miss our family, and we're all, you know, we're just very alike. So it's really nice to have people like that. And then your friends like that when you're abroad, they literally become your family. You need to rely on them like family. And like, I would look out for them like my sisters, you know, because you don't have, I suppose, that security of falling back on your family if you were to get sick, or if you were, you know, like, I remember Charlotte, her phone was stolen, and I was like, oh my God, that's, you know, it's scary when you're in a country by yourself and things like that happen. So you just have to look out for people.
I suppose COVID-19 kind of took us all by surprise. It's so weird, even though we were watching it on the news and seeing what was happening in China. I remember when I was recording the last season of my podcast, season 5, it was the last episode with Sabrina Hill, and I'd driven to Cork that day to record the episode. I think it was around March 9th, and I was driving home from Cork, and I listened to the radio the whole way
way home. And I went into Jamie when I got home. It was around 9 o'clock. And I was like, oh my God, this is like properly serious. Like, I really think we're going to go into lockdown. And, you know, we were kind of like, Jesus, like, this is crazy that this is happening. Mm. Like, do you remember when you started to feel like, oh my God, this is getting serious?
Yeah, and this is going to sound like the most ridiculous thing you're ever going to hear. So I was I was on a boat in Miami. I organized my best friend's bachelorette hen party in Miami. That was the first weekend in March. So it was like end of February going into March, and I was supposed to go on a press trip with Revolve in the middle of March, and my friend was flying over from Ireland to join me because I got a plus one. It was a cruise ship leaving from Miami going to the Bahamas for 3 days.
Oh my God.
We had just booked our flights like 2 days before, and it was obviously a big trip for her coming from Ireland, but after the flights everything would have been covered by the brand. And then I got an email when I was on the boat being like, that's cancelled. Everything's cancelled. And I was like, oh my God. You know, because obviously coming from Ireland, I was more worried about her. So we had to look into cancelling our flights. And this was before airlines were doing any refunds or anything like that. Like, it was before the craziness. But since then on, it just got crazier. Everything started getting cancelled. And we laugh about it still. We're like, we wouldn't have minded being stuck in the Bahamas on a cruise ship. It would have been fine. Yeah. You know?
Kristen Cavallari, I think she was stuck on the Bahamas or something for like a couple of months, which is nice. Yeah. And then your parents were coming over.
Yeah, so they were coming that weekend, and that was when I was around the time I was just feeling really homesick. So I was really hoping that they could get over, and at that point I didn't think I was going to go home, and I was like, oh my God, what if I don't get to see them? And so they were stuck in the airport for a while, but it was due to technical difficulties. But even at that point, we were not sure if they were going to get out. But there was no warnings not to travel, I suppose, you know. So that at that point, it was safe to travel. But it was that weekend in New York, we went to a restaurant that I wanted to bring them to, and it was closed. And I was like, what's going on? This is so strange, you know. And we went across to a bar that's near my house to watch Trump's announcement. And then while they were there, he announced a couple of days later that they were shutting the borders to Ireland. So they changed their flights and they had to go home early. But at that point, I still didn't think I was going to go back. Just because I obviously, you know, living in New York, my rent is really expensive, and I just moved there. I didn't really want to pick up and unsettle everything again. I just wanted to give it a proper shot. And I also thought I'd go crazy in my family home. I was like, how am I going to live there? I haven't lived there since I was 17, you know, apart from Christmas. But that's actually the one really, really nice thing that's come from this for me, is just like really enjoying being at home with my family and appreciating it. And I think maybe if it wasn't for me moving away and being homesick, I wouldn't appreciate it as much. I'm sure I'd probably be like getting frustrated over silly things, whereas now I'm just so grateful to have the company and so grateful to have my mom like cooking for me and like just someone to sit down and watch TV with.
Yeah, and you can really tell that from your Instagram, like the gratitude that you feel and all the positive vibes you've been putting out there over the last while, which is just incredible because you've like 200,000 followers, and I'm sure a lot of young people are following you. So it's really nice that you're being, number one, truthful about how you're feeling, which is having bad days too, but also trying to think of the positives. And do you remember then the time when you were in New York where you were like, I have to go home, I have to leave?
So it was when Charlotte was trying to make her mind up. She's like one of my closest friends over there. And she was like, no, I'm going to go, I'm going to go. And I kind of knew that for a couple of days. And I said, I'm going to stay. And then I was just trying to imagine what it would be like being there and not really being able to meet up with many people. Like, a lot of my friends who were left there were working full time, and my work has slowed down a lot, you know, so I have a lot of free time. And even when you were going out for walks and stuff over there, it just got to a point where it just didn't really feel safe, you know. Yeah, and I just said, look, I think this is the right decision. If I was to get sick, if my family were to get sick, you know, I just thought it was kind of a spur of the moment decision. And even like up until when I got home, I didn't even know if I'd made the right decision, you know, because how was I supposed to know? But now I'm here, God, nearly 8 weeks, and I really feel like I definitely made the right decision for me. I couldn't imagine being in an apartment by myself for that long. I would I would just have gone crazy.
And everything in New York had changed at this point. Like, there was nobody really around and everything was really quiet, was it?
Yeah, yeah. Like, the streets were empty. So, like, a lot of the normal people, like, the people who would normally be on the streets, like, in Midtown, going to work and coming home and going out to bars and restaurants, all of those people were cleared out. So it was just a weird feeling, like, on the street. And then the parks, obviously, were buzzing, but you're not really supposed to be around people either. So it was a very strange feeling. Yeah, definitely not the New York that I moved to, or the New York that I think of, you know.
Yeah. Oh God, it's so sad. I hope it gets back to some sort of normality soon. And what was the flight like home? Were you kind of on edge?
Yeah, it was very strange. You know, everyone was kind of on edge and tense, and like, there was all the social distancing rules in place. And yeah, I was just eager to get home at that point. Yeah, it felt like a very long journey, but Aer Lingus were great. You know, the staff were amazing, and just very grateful that we were able to get home.
Then you arrive home to the most beautiful part of the country and you're isolating in this gorgeous cottage. Like, what a difference a day makes.
Oh my God, I know. That was just, honestly, I've never seen Ireland like that. Like, the weather was just, the weather since I've come home, it's like literally God is over us being like, you deserve this.
Yeah. You were in Doolin and Clare.
We were in Doolin, yeah, in West Clare on the coast. And we were in a little cottage, which from the front looked like, you know, something from, I don't know, years ago, like your granny's cottage almost. And then out the back, there's gorgeous big windows with a couch in front of it and a fireplace. And it was just so nice, like rolling hills. You could see you could literally sit there and watch the birds flying, and you could see the tractors coming in and out, and you could see the water. It was just so, so nice. And we could go out for isolated walks and know that we weren't, like, you know, going to meet anybody or put anyone at risk. And it was just very relaxing and just what we needed coming home from kind of a stressful situation, you know.
Yeah. And so after the 2 weeks were up, you were obviously dying to see your family.
Yeah, I was so excited. And the dog, of course, Winnie was here, and Cooper as well. So we had a nice, you know, we had like a little celebration, I suppose, when I came home. And it's been like, our house is crazy busy, you know. Two of my sisters are working from home. My mom is working from home. My dad was working from home. And my brother was finishing up college.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's kind of nonstop. We have a little at-home gym built out the back, which my brother spends a lot of his time. And we have a yoga kind of little centre at the front of the house that we're just trying to make the most out of the space we have. Our house isn't huge and there's 6 grown adults living in it now. So there was never a dull moment. You know?
And are you enjoying it?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's going to be hard at times, but like, and you never could have imagined that this is what you'd be doing this year. But, you know, like I said earlier, you do look at the positives.
I think more, I'm not even like trying to look at the positives in a way. It's just coming really naturally at the moment because I know how I felt in New York, and I just felt really lonely, and now I'm like, I literally am not lonely, and I just feel like I'm learning what I need to be happy, and it's very like simple things. So hopefully when I go back, I can, like, you know, make those changes that I need to make to be happier there. And it's actually a good thing to learn as well, like, that I am happy at home, and if New York doesn't work out, like, I'm not going to be miserable coming back, you know, that kind of way. I'll be excited to come back, and that's a great thing as well, you know.
Yeah, and to like go easier on yourself, and just because, you know, you made a decision that was right for you last year doesn't mean that necessarily it has to be right for you this year. And you have I always think about Oprah when she says, you have a choice, you have a right to change your mind. And when she said that, and when I read that quote, it really opened up so many possibilities to me, even like about exercise and how I'd never exercised in my life before. And when she said, you have a right to change your mind, I thought, yeah, just because I didn't do it in my 20s doesn't mean I can't do it in my 30s.
But that's the same even with me and exercise. Like, I am very active and I love exercising, but like sometimes I can, you know, do it to the point where I'm like, I hate this type of exercise now, even though I used to love it, and I'll change it up and I'll do something else. You know, I think I wouldn't change any of like the decisions I've made with regards to moving because I've learned so much. And when I go back, who knows, it could be a completely different experience again. Like, but I think to constantly be aware that you do have the choice and you have to continue to learn and grow and, you know, as long as you're doing that, that's kind of all I want at this stage in my life, you know.
And you said in one of your videos, I love your YouTube channel, it was funny, I read about you a couple of months ago that you are a blogger, you know, like so many people call themselves bloggers, but you actually blog. And you do such a good job of it. But you said in one of your videos that you're enjoying living more simply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really am. Like, just, I feel like I was going at such a fast pace and I didn't know how to slow down. I genuinely just didn't know. I was kind of guilt ridden all the time and I was getting myself up out of bed. And I work for myself, like, just at 6 o'clock in the morning to go and exercise so I'd be done for 7 so I could be out the door by 9, even though like I was putting this pressure on myself. And I've heard a few people say that. I don't know how we'll get back up to that fast pace, and hopefully we won't. I think we need to like all take this like learning from this time and just take things a bit slower, like, because you only have one life. And I think when you're constantly putting that pressure and stress on yourself, it's just not good for you, like, health wise. I feel like taking this downtime, even like my happiness, my personality is better, my presence is better. I just feel like the simple things, like having a coffee. I never would give myself the time to enjoy a coffee. Like, looking, you know, when you get that nice weather and there's a really nice sky outside, just sitting out and just being like, this is nice, you know, or listening to a book or reading a book. I can't tell you the last time I read a book before all this time. You know, I just wouldn't have, I wouldn't make the time.
That's just such an incredible way to look at things. Like, when I got sick in 2017, everything stopped, and I spent 2018 like obviously in chemo and things mm-hmm. like that, but like I was forced to stop mm-hmm. and never in my life had I done that before. Before I got sick, I was always go, 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 always looking ahead, mm. never taking a minute to reflect or to congratulate myself, always just thinking about the next thing. So when this happened and the whole world was forced to stop in 2020, I said to Jamie, whoa, there's going to be so, now it's not, obviously it's different getting a cancer diagnosis, mm. but there's so many people that are going to stop this year and are going to live their lives differently and say, do you know what, the old way doesn't suit me anymore, and you know, this is what I'm going to do going forward. I found like even going shopping once a week and getting all your food for the week has just been so crazy for me, because I used to go do the shopping on a Monday, then by Wednesday I'd be back in the shops, or Thursday, Friday, and just always picking up bits. But it's been so different to do my shop once a week and just live off that food mm-hmm. and, you know, use up all the ingredients in my fridge. And it's just a completely different way of living, down to the simplest of things.
Yeah, it's so satisfying, isn't it, when you get to the end of the week and the fridge is like emptying, the freezer emptying, you're like, I did it. And I could save so much money as well. I'm even learning, I'm watching my mom how she, like, okay, we're gonna have this for dinner, and she'll take the chicken out of the freezer, and I'm like, this is how you meal plan, you know.
Yeah,
it's good. It's like an interesting learning thing. But just touching on what you were saying about when you were forced to slow down, I find that at the moment we're all slowing down, so it's like it's a little holiday that we're all taking together. There's no FOMO, nobody's doing anything. So it's a really good time to reflect on it. It's actually such a shame that I don't like have any regrets or anything, but I'm looking back and I'm like, I was just like speeding through life, like not even taking the time to be like, wow, that was a really cool trip, or wow, you did a good thing there, or you know, I never took the time to write, which I love doing. I never took the time to stop and think or read it. Like, you know, when you're reading a book or you're listening to a book, it can spark a thought. I wasn't even doing that. I didn't even have the time to do that. So I'm trying to do it all now.
It's an amazing way to look at things. And I used to read Oprah's book, What I Know For Sure, and Chemotherapy. And like that, like I'd be forced to sit down for 6 hours to get my chemo, so I knew I couldn't go anywhere. So if I read like a page that really spoke to me, like I close the book, like hold the book at my chest and just think about that. And before, I suppose you just zoom through books, but to actually take the time to listen is incredible. And I'd say so many, it's amazing that you've got this perspective like so young and without getting sick, and it's really a gift. You've spoken about self-care, and you on your channel you've spoken to life coaches and things like that. You seem to be very aware of kind of checking in with yourself.
Yeah, I just think it's really important to talk about how you're feeling. I know so many people who've struggled with their mental health and, you know, just how they're feeling, and I have as well, and I wish it wasn't as hard as it is to talk about. I think we've come so far in Ireland, but, you know, I think we need to be continue the conversation, continue to be really open about it, as hard as it is. So even for me sharing stuff, it's personal and it's hard, and I don't have all the answers and nobody does. But I think once you make it okay to talk about it and like let people aware, you know, of what you should be doing to check in on yourself, I think hopefully that in the long run will help the mental health situation in Ireland. I didn't even understand what self-care was a couple of years ago. And that just shows you, like. But in August, right before I moved to New York, my cousin died by suicide, and that's just been really, really hard for my family. And there's, you know, there's things that I just feel compelled to talk about now, especially with the platform that I have. But it's hard for me and it's hard for my family. But I know at the end of the day, like, I have a responsibility to talk about this, and I just want to try and help if I can, you know. And share my struggles and be honest about my struggles. I know from sharing those, I've got feedback from people that does help.
That's just such an incredible way to use your platform. And thank you so much for sharing something so personal. Like, it just can't be easy. You went on then to raise €90,000 for Pieta House when you came home from New York. Did you ever even imagine that you would reach that number?
No, I can't believe it. Like, you know, when I think about the amount, it's crazy. But it's the awareness as well. It's the awareness that's the really, really important thing there. You know, I never thought I would raise that much and not be kind of overjoyed with, wow, this is amazing. You know, it's such a sensitive topic that I just care so much about, that the money is amazing and the awareness is amazing. And I just want to continue to do it and to, you know, try and help people, you know. Even Normal People. Did you watch Normal People?
I don't know how to watch it because I never recorded it. So maybe I can get it on the player.
It's on Hulu. But they touch on mental health and that. And the way that they do it is just brilliant. And it just really shows, I suppose, what, you know, what people go through.
And you say on your posts, keep talking, keep checking in, not to give up. Where there is life, there is hope. And I think they are such powerful words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're actually, my aunt was the one who said that. My aunt Patrice, Nikki's mom. And she's amazing. She obviously she knows so much about everything. And it's just heartbreaking, you know, when suicide happens, it's something that can never be undone. And it's something that a family will never get over. And I don't know, I don't have all the answers, and I'm not going to pretend that I do, but I know small things can spiral into big things. And I just think to catch things early, to know what your options are with talking, to not be afraid to talk, to, you know, make an effort if you're feeling good to check in with people that are your friends that maybe you haven't talked to in a while, because you don't know how they're feeling. And I think we all, like, if you're feeling good, you have a responsibility to check in on people who maybe aren't feeling as good, because sometimes when you're in a bad mental state, it can be hard to ask for help. So just, I suppose, to bear that in mind as well as knowing that there are free services there if you need them, just to bear in mind if you are good that you have a responsibility to other people as well, you know.
Yeah, and you spreading that message on your social media, like, I'm sure you've heard from so many people who are grateful, you know, that you have spoken about that.
Yeah, it's really, I'm not gonna lie, it's a really hard one for me to talk about, but I am really glad that it's helping people. And I think over time maybe I'll become more comfortable and I'll be able to do more and more. But for the moment, I just need to be really appreciative of what we've done, and I'm going to continue to try and spread that message, you know, because it's a good one, and all it does is help people, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was such a lovely thing to do. And you've spoken about writing things down, and that really helps you. Mm-hmm. Denise Kenny sent me one of her journals called The Head Plan. And I never wrote things down before that. And I started to kind of write out my goals for the day and for the week. And it really helped my anxiety.
Yeah, I've always felt like that. When my anxiety is at its worst, I'll write a list of, okay, get up, have breakfast, go to the gym, you know, take a shower, like things like that. And honestly, ticking those little things off would really help me if I'm having a very like anxious day. But in general, I'll write anything and everything from like, this is how I'm feeling today, and I don't really know why I'm feeling this way. And honestly, it just helps so much with like clarity for me and like making sense of situations. And I can see it right from when I was a teenager to now, obviously very different things I'm dealing with, but like it just helps me get things out of my head and on paper, and it's actually a nice like rewarding feeling afterwards. And in with time, it's actually something that's kind of nice to look back on. Just I don't know, I feel like it's helped me grow a lot and be able to like form thoughts better.
And you've been doing a lot of cooking as well. Do you find that very therapeutic?
I am the worst cook, honestly. Like, I know nothing, but my mom is amazing and my sisters are amazing. Especially my mom is an amazing baker, so we've been baking together, and that's been really fun. And we used to always do that when I was a kid. So we're comparing like the different tastes of all the mixtures, you know, the really sugary ones before they're even baked. It's so delicious. But it's therapeutic, and I'm kind of getting into it, and I'm hoping I'm going to go back to New York a better cook.
Because in New York, in fairness, like so many people eat out, but I could see from your Instagram that you do a lot of cooking in your apartment in New York.
I'm trying. I do eat out a lot as well. Like, and when you come back, you realize how ridiculous it is, but it's just the way of life over there. Like, it would be normal to eat out, God, like four times a week, where it's just not here. I got like a slow cooker, which is an easy way to kind of batch cook, you know. You just throw everything in, leave it there for a couple hours, and you have five dinners there ready to go. So things like that suit me. I'm trying to find ways and trying to learn to get into habits, which I'm actually picking up here at home from being around my mom. It's just about thinking ahead of time and, you know, knowing what you need to buy in the grocery shop and all that.
Have you got plans then to go back to New York? What do you think the rest of 2020 is going to look like for you? And I know that's a difficult question.
It is. And I really don't know, like nobody knows, but I really hope to get back in June. I've booked a flight for the end of June, and I just want to like get some of the summer there, because that was kind of what I was dreaming about when I moved, was just having that summer of kind of freedom. And I've done this, I've moved, but I mean, it's not going to be the summer I imagined, because nowhere is really going to be open. But even just to get back for a little bit, the rest of 2020, September, I need to come around to the fact that I'm moving apartment, because I want to move in with somebody. So that's going to be interesting. And hopefully I'll stay there for the rest of the year and be settled by the time I come home for next Christmas.
What is it like working over there? Is it completely different to here?
Well, for me, I'm kind of just trying to build connections, and it was slow moving, like, I'm not going to lie, because the pond there is so big, you know. It's like you're a small fish in a big pond, which is always the way I'd rather be anyway. But it can be disheartening when, I suppose, you're moving there to make this your career and it's not happening as fast as you'd like. But it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. People don't know you. You know, for me, when I started in Ireland, it took me years before. Well, I was doing it for maybe a year and a half here before I was able to do it full time. And that was never even my intention. But the difference is, I've gone over to America with the whole, you know, with the plan that I'm going to be full time blogging over there. So it's interesting, and the way they work over there is quite different. The content they create is different. I find in Ireland, like, it's very real, and it's very like, you know, what are you doing, and don't, you know, you don't want any you don't want anything kind of sugar-coated here. People want to see real life. And over there, it's a little bit more curated. People like high-end content, so like photographers. It's very different. And I like both, and I'm trying to find the balance of both. But I'll see, you know. And do you know what? I've come around to the idea that I might not do what I'm doing forever, because I do like working with people. So that might be a thing that I'll look into as well. It's like, but I just don't know yet.
It sounds like you're on such an amazing journey of self-discovery, and that is just what is so exciting about life. And I really hope that you get back to beautiful New York soon and get to enjoy the rest of your year. But thank you so much for being so honest about your journey, especially this year and all the money that you've raised for Pieta House. I hope that you're really proud of yourself, and I'm sure your family are too. So thank you so much for taking the time today, Louise. I appreciate it so much.
Thanks so much, Georgie. It was so nice to chat to you.
Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast, with thanks to Sally Hansen. As we all find ourselves washing our hands so much more these days, why not take better care of our nails with Sally Hansen's Cuticle Oil or Complete Care 7-in-1. You can shop the products at grocery stores and pharmacies nationwide, such as Dunn Stores and Macaulay's Health and Beauty, and online too. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. And for more of my story, follow me on Instagram at georgie.pulford.